So hear the word of the Lord this morning. Maybe in the season of Lent, you can follow along or you can just close your eyes and listen to God's word, hearing what it says. Psalm 34 of David. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. For I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears, and those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants, and no one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. This is the word of the Lord. Again, if it wasn't said last week, we want to say that the season of Lent corresponds to Jesus' 40 days of temptation in the wilderness. The church has commemorated that in as much as we've commemorated Christmas and commemorated Easter. And this season of reflection is really those 40 days leading up to Holy Week, in which we reflect upon and think about Jesus being in the wilderness and being tested by Satan there. And, interestingly enough, not coincidentally, is that in the midst of Jesus' temptations from the devil, he quotes scripture back to him, and in particular, Psalms. Psalms that allow him to stand up underneath the weight of evil in its midst. And for us, this season of self-examination is meant to guide and lead us into these great Psalms, so that those seasons that we may be going through, like seasons of dryness, seasons of self-examination, seasons of confusion, lead us to rely more heavily on God's word, to see our need for grace in it, and to teach us to long again for Christ's redemption and resurrection. The beauty of Scripture. to guide and lead us through whatever it is that we are facing. So this week, I was studying. I flew out to stay with friends of mine that go back to college, Jamestown College. The coldest years of my life were spent in Jamestown College, North Dakota. And in God's good humor, as I landed on the ground there at Princeton Theological Seminary, he decided to let it snow there too. And so I froze this whole week and therefore spent a lot of time in a library. And it reminded me of a lot of experiences. I could go back with Shane and Corey back to Jamestown College and the joy of having good friends in the Lord. I received on my phone this week, I would get scriptures sent to me. Really glorious thing to do. If the uselessness of text is really lifted up with a text being sent to you of scripture. And I got one from my mom that week, and it was just, she had been thinking about Psalm 147, and she sent the verse that says on verse 3, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." A day later, I was sitting in the lobby of the Princeton Theological Seminary library, and there were two international students sitting in chairs next to me. I was actually on my phone reading Bible app. It was the YouVersion Bible app, which I recommend, and reading the verse of the day. And these two international students, Asian students, sat down next to me, and one of them pulled out his phone and started reading aloud a scripture passage to his friend. They were having a Bible study in the library. And as he was reading the text, the verse that came out was this one. "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who were crushed in spirit." He finished the psalm, and I interrupted their Bible study. Where's that from? Is that Psalm 147? He goes, "No, that was Psalm 34. Okay. The next day, I send a note via email to Christy. "Please send me the text that I'm preaching on this week and the notes that correspond to it, because we are following a Lenten series that comes out of Redeemer Presbyterian in New York City. And it was Psalm 34, our thing for this week. It's very interesting how when Scripture is sent to you, when Scripture is read to you, when you are reflecting upon Scripture, it can come up in a variety of forms, in a variety of fashions, in a variety of venues, and all seeking to say the same thing. That is to say, that God's Word is that which guides and leads us. That is what we need to hear through all the seasons of our lives. And He, in fact, does those gracious things of making it reappear over and over to get it deeper into our bones. It's no accident that these things were unfolding, at least for me, this week, when I hadn't even thought about what I was going to say here this morning. His word never returns void, Scripture says. And what David is doing in this particular psalm, in Psalm 34, this prayer of seeking, is to describe what it is that he's done, and then secondly, to describe what he wants to teach people in light of what he's done. So there is this self-reflection moment in Scripture that says, here's how I have handled things, here's how I have moved forward, and then he says, and I want to tell you what you should really think about this. And it's a good way to do that because we are wired to teach first and not do any self-reflection. David does some self-reflection in the midst of what he's learned in a tight spot, and then he says, I need to tell you about it. I want to tell you why it matters. I want to tell you how you can be led by it. And that's a beautiful psalm that we can't see in English. It's an acrostic psalm in Hebrew, which means that every line, every stanza starts with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph, Beit. It's like we do A, B, C. And it goes all through the Hebrew alphabet, and this psalm is meant to kind of guide in order a poetic beauty that allows us to see how it is we should seek God. Gordon Venham, great Old Testament scholar, says that this psalm could be called the ABCs for a crisis. How's that? So you think of Psalm 34, this is the ABCs of a crisis. Every line, A, B, C, is the first letter it starts with. And it comprehensively covers what to do when afflicted, when you are filled with fears, when you are surrounded by troubles, when you are brokenhearted, crushed in spirit, many afflictions. In short, this psalm addresses what to do when bad things happen. And if you noticed closely as it was going through, it does not say that bad things won't. In fact, it says they will have many troubles, but the Lord is the one that delivers. Well, the first part, verses 1 to 10, describe what David has done. He's saying, I sought the Lord. The depth of seeking after him in the midst of distress is one that you can imagine in many other psalms, where David actually describes in his tears on his bed seeking the Lord for answers, seeking the Lord for some kind of understanding of the struggle he's facing. And David says here, I sought the Lord and he did answer. He was not silent. He did not leave me alone. He said, he delivered me from my fears. The great King David is the one who throughout his life experienced fears that were debilitating and ones that he needed to be delivered from. And he says, you know what? I had fears. This is a moment of transparency. I was afraid. I was afraid for my life. I was afraid of what might happen. And the Lord raised me up out of the depths of those fears. Are we able to be vulnerable like King David and to describe what it is that we might be afraid of? He says, I will praise God in light of what happens. His praise is going to be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. And then there's this line that jumps out at it saying, let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Is that praise and worship is really felt at a depth that only the afflicted can understand. You don't tend to praise the thing that you don't think you need. You don't tend to glory in something that you think you can overcome on your own. David was in a place in which he was completely helpless and his afflictions were overbearing, and yet the Lord answered and delivered, and therefore he says, I am going to now praise him for it. And then, the really vulnerable moment, this poor man called, and the Lord heard him. That tends to be an adjective we use to describe other people, isn't it? and not ourselves. This poor, pathetic individual. This is what David uses to describe himself. He says, the Lord heard him. Therefore, just taste and see the Lord is really, really, really good. So good that blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Even the strongest thing of nature that you can think of, at least for the psalmist, is the lion that tears people limb from limbs. They grow weak. They grow hungry. But the Lord gives good things to those who seek him. Seeking him where he may be found is all over this first half of the psalm. David was vulnerable. David was afraid. David saw himself as a failure, a poor man. David saw himself as one who was weak, who was hungry, and yet the Lord did something amazing, saved him out of all his troubles. And if you look at its connection to the book of Samuel, you see this in a little part, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left, you do the cross-referencing, you see that this is a psalm that arises out of God delivering him from a tight spot. Have you experienced God's deliverance from a tight spot? Are you able to identify with the emotions and the experiences of David, who in his strength realized he was quite weak? And are you able to say that the Lord was good? Not that it was not painful, but that the Lord was good to you. That's what seeking requires in this season of Lent, is to seek the Lord where he may be found and know and to realize that he is good and far greater than anything else. Any disappointment we might experience, any pain we might be feeling, his goodness overshadows the darkness. You seek God first. But then the second half of the psalm is this. Let me tell you now what I've learned. Let me tell you, my children, what it is that you should pay attention to now. You seek the Lord first, but there is actually a way in which you begin to put shoes on those feet, where there's tread to allow you to walk on the trail and not slip. You come before the Lord, you're barefoot, as it were. Now it's time to put on some shoes and to start climbing the hill. And if you love life, he says, if you desire to see many days and many days as good days, the biggest problem you'll face is yourself. You have to recognize where your weaknesses lie. You have to recognize where it is that you might be becoming your own worst enemy. He says, you keep your tongue from evil. Stop telling lies. Honesty is the road ahead. And he says, turn from evil. Like, you have to turn in Scripture is not to kind of say, you know, it's an unfortunate thing. It's actually a complete about face. It's to turn your back to it. Because if you're looking at it, you're supposed to turn around. So the word repent actually means as well. You turn from it in such a degree that you see it for what it is, a false lie. You see it for what it is, something that promises a lot and delivers nothing. You see it for what it is, a lie that simply does not deliver the hope you've had. And he says, turn from it and do good. Seek peace and pursue it, because evil is always disruptive. Evil is always causing warfare. And that word warfare can go from the most obvious example of just complete violence that we see unfolding before us, to the warfare within our souls that causes our hearts to not be at peace. There's a reason why Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, came to his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." It's because the turmoil within was incredibly debilitating. Pay attention to me. You need to turn from lies. You need to turn from evil, he says. You need to know that he listens to your cries. This Almighty God who is spirit, he gives in this text ears. God has ears. Of course, it's an analogy, but he's saying he's listening all the time. When your cries go up, he does not turn aside and say, "I don't have time for that." He listens and he answers. He delivers them even. We all know what it's like to be in a position where we hear someone's pain and yet recognize that we have no ability whatsoever to take it away, to change the circumstances, to provide a future on our own strength or on our own power. God is not, however, someone who listens and says, "There, there, I hope you have a better day." That's a good thing. He listens, he hears, but he engages in action. He delivers us. And then the text that was just flying off the radar for me all week long. He's close. He's close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. The philosophies of the world and the religions that have defined it have all, without exception, described happiness and joy and success in this life as flowing from, resulting from, human effort. All religions have said that if you want to find peace in your heart, you will be the one who makes it happen. If you look at yourself and you see evil within, you need to fix it. If you look into the world and you have made mistakes along the way, you need to get smarter. Scripture, however, does not give salvation to the strong. It does not give deliverance to the smart. It does not give redemption of sins to the earnest. It comes to the humble. It comes to the broken. It comes to those who are crushed in spirit, in and through the one who, Scripture says, was crushed for our iniquities. Salvation for the crushed comes through the one who was crushed for us. It's not an exaggeration. That's not an analogous word. It describes what's real, crushed for us. And therefore, we know as Christians that the most obvious verse in the whole thing, the righteous one may have many troubles. Anybody here today who has not had many troubles, please come see me after the service and tell me your secret. But the Lord delivers him from them all. What might we say about Psalm 34? In light of the prayer of seeking, it's one that you should get into your bones this week. The bones that this text says will not be broken. And it should get into your bones in such a way that you see that in your being crushed, you begin to reflect on the one who was crushed for you and whose deliverance of you is real, whose goodness in light of the heartache you felt is not simply their words, but actual reality. It is a goodness that cannot be taken from you. And that you have the honesty to describe who you are, full of fears, full of afflictions, full of weakness, full of hunger, full of lies, full of attraction to that which is evil. And therefore, he doesn't ask you to fix yourself. He asks you to seek him, to see what he will do, to see how he will save, to see how he will hear, to see how he will crush evil and lift up good from its ashes. Friends, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Seek the Lord where he may be found. Let's pray.